When a group of former and current professional football players were asked what sacrifice means, one said, "Sacrifice means that no matter what the cost, I'm willing to pay that price." One said, "Putting aside what is important now for something more important down the road." One said, "Giving of the individual for the better of the team." Solomon Wilcott said, "The biggest sacrifice I've had to make, along with a lot of other football players, is giving up your body. That's what football players do. They know it's going to hurt, but they have the courage and the heart to go in anyways." The reality is, tonight, we're going to watch a lot of football players make a lot of sacrifices, some physically, subjecting themselves to pain or injury and concussions. Some will, or a lot of them have to sacrifice mentally, going to work on Monday when they're sore from Sunday, giving up precious time with their families, all in an effort to help their team achieve victory. That's one of the reasons why I like football, because you can see it every game. You can see them giving it their all. Someone once said, "Bravery and courage is not someone who's willing to go into harm's way. It's someone who knows they're going to have to pay the price and still is willing to go into harm's way." Sacrifice is inspiring because it often is a selfless act for someone else, not yourself. It was anyways in Jesus' case. Out of mercy, God sent his son Jesus to pay for our sin, our mess ups. Jesus, knowing it was going to cost him, came into harm's way for us, allowing those who simply believe in him to not have to perish, but have everlasting life, paying for our sin by dying on the cross. There are a lot of ways that God has shown us mercy. He sent his son Jesus to rescue us. He's gone out of his way to reach out to us, to show us that he's there and that he cares. He's patient with us. He's slow to get upset at us. For many of us, he's given us a pretty blessed life with family and friends, providing for everything we need. In light of all of this, Paul in Romans chapter 12 says this. He says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of everything he's done for you, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." Kind of like what the football players will do tonight for their team. "Offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. When you do this, this is your true and proper worship." Which leads to the question, well, we see what football players have to do in order to sacrifice for their team. They have to put their bodies in harm's way, and they have to sweat and work hard when they're out of energy. But how can you and I be a living sacrifice for God? And he tells us, he says right there, live a holy and pleasing life to God. That we work to clean our lives out of sin. Get sin out of our lifestyles. And do what pleases God. And when we are pursuing what genuinely pleases God, that's genuine worship. It's appropriate worship. He says this, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, a different mindset than the normal, a mindset that's focused on pursuing what God wants rather than what we want." He says, "Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. There's a lot of things that God wants, but he says part of it, Jesus said part of what he wants is when someone asked what the greatest commandments are, he said the greatest is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. The second, similar, is loving your neighbor as yourself. So part of what God wants is for us to be passionate about doing what he wants and passionate about taking care of other people. Also, a significant part of his will when it comes to us is the commission he left for us. Right before when Jesus died and rose again from the dead in front of an audience of about 500 who were amazed and watching him exit, he encouraged them and us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Everything about God's will is good. It's all focused on helping others get to heaven, helping humans reconnect to God, helping us get direct access to the advice of the one who wrote the rules, forming a relationship with the one who cares the most about you, the one who has the power to help you. What I've found almost every time in my life and the people I serve alongside is that the more you give in order to pursue what God wants, the more you get a kick out of it. The more it's pleasing to yourself. And it kind of goes back to the principle taught to us in the Bible that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that when you do start living for God rather than yourself, you experience that sense of happiness and fulfillment when you have your mind focused on others rather than yourself. The reality is God's will, everything about it's good. And when you pursue it, you benefit from it. And there's no cons to it in the sense that every aspect about it is perfect. The reality is, all of us in this room, we are all called to be a living sacrifice. But living sacrificially is only part of our calling. We are all called to be team players. That's why he continues on in verse 3. He says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." We're called to be team players, to be honest about what it looks like, to be honest about what we're good at and what we're not good at, to live life with each other in a way that we recognize that it's not about me. Recognizing we need others' help to accomplish God's will. Being willing to serve and get the job done even though we don't enjoy it sometimes. We've all seen athletes, whether in football or any other sport, who aren't good team players. And no matter their skill level, they're not able to accomplish what they're supposed to accomplish because being a team player is critical. We're called to be a team player because the reality is this. We're all a part of God's team. We're part of the church. And locally here in our community, the church is White Pine. That's where we're at. That's our team. We're a group of people with diverse gifts and diverse resources. A group of Jesus followers working together. Working to accomplish what God wants. That's why our mission statement here at White Pine is to help people find and follow Jesus. Our goal is to fulfill the commission Jesus left for us. And we're working as a team to do so. And what we need to be doing as individuals is asking, how can I be using my skills and my resources to help the church accomplish what God wants done? And if you don't know where to start, simply start serving. Even Jesus, the one we're supposed to copy, he says he didn't come to be served. He didn't come to sit in a service every Sunday morning, but to serve, to give back. One, we should not only be serving, but we should also view the resources that God's given us, whether it's money or time or a house or a skill set, viewing our resources as tools God gave you to use for Him. And as you start serving and as you start evaluating the resources that God's blessed you with to serve others, you'll begin to find your sweet spot. You'll begin to identify what you're good at. You'll be able to figure out how you best serve the team in fulfilling what God's called us all to do as we work to help the team accomplish His mission. One thing I love about White Pine is White Pine is a team where many of its people get this. Many of you are involved in a lot of different ministries. If you look in the back in a little bit, we have signups for different ministries, and there's like 10 tables, all of smaller teams that are all geared to either help people meet Jesus or encourage people to follow Jesus. I think of my team in the Point program, the youth program, of my leaders who commit every week, hours of their week, every week to spend time with youth, to help our youth meet Jesus and encourage those who have already met Him to follow Him. I think of even the high school students here who a lot of them pitch out in the middle school program, and a lot of them aren't in this room because they're back serving with our kiddos right now. That no matter what your age, you can be a part of it. I think of Doreen Wilcox, who every month recruits a team of ladies to go, ladies and guys and even students to go serve at the soup kitchen, to give back to people in need, to do what Jesus was passionate about doing. I think of the ladies on Thursday morning. Thursday morning, a lot of the women in our church get together for a Bible study. And there's a select few women, as I go into my office every Thursday morning, I see them downstairs, not enjoying their time with all the other ladies, but they're downstairs watching the little kiddos to serve the other ladies in the church, to help other people be able to be encouraged in their walk with Jesus. I think of Kim and her team of volunteers that run our kids programs who aren't in this room right now, who don't get to hardly ever be in this room. Right now they're running all of the programs around this building right now, serving our little kiddos. Some are sitting in the back holding the babies. We have a lot of guys who serve on the setup team. This room is set up and torn down every Sunday by a group of men that come at like 7:30 in the morning. I think of two of my coworkers, two staff in the church, Marietta and Mark Gager, who work at White Pine nearly full-time as staff members, completely volunteer without a paycheck. And it's because they get it. They view themselves as team members on a team working to accomplish God's mission. And that's awesome. That's inspiring. And if you don't know where to start, the first step is simply to participate. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says this: "Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, We're surrounded by people who are already getting this. They're already living for God. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's one of our jobs is to encourage ourselves by keeping our focus on what Jesus did, his example. Staying focused on the end game, the benefits of all the costs. Belittling the pain, the cost, and shame like the football players do in their sport. And reminding ourselves that it paid off for Jesus. It was worth it in the end. It's our job to work on our lives to eliminate any hindrances or sin that's slowing us down. And the reality is, in our culture, we are bombarded by hindrances. They're natural. And it's our job not to wait till we have time to serve God. It's our job to make time, to cut out our schedule and to fit God in. And if it costs us other things, so be it. And to make sure that we clean our life from sin so that we maintain the proper motivation we ought to have for living for God. Because when we allow sin into our lives and our behavior, we soon find that our mind drifts away from wanting to please God to wanting to please ourselves. So like football players, we kind of got to work out. We got to keep ourselves in shape. We got to keep sin out of our lives, and we got to make sure that our schedules stayed cleared enough so that we can fit living for God in. The reality is we're each called to sacrifice. We're each called to be a part of the team. We're each called to participate. One cool thing about this church is they try to make it really easy for you to jump in if you want to. This morning, you can jump in by simply signing up on one of the 10 tables in the back for our first serve Sunday. Just try out a ministry, not long-term committing, just testing out to see if it's a good fit for you. And if you don't see anything back there that you feel passionate about, then send the pastors or the ministry leaders an email and say, hey, listen, I want to get in. I want to serve. Where do you think I'd best fit in? But don't just sit there. Take action. The reality is this. There's plenty to be done. There's a lot to be done, especially in our community. But there aren't many workers. That's what Jesus said. He said the fields are ready, but the laborers are few. And one thing we ought to be doing is be praying for more workers so that more can be done. And if we're not already in ourselves, to get in the game. I also want to take a step back and acknowledge the fact that some of you might be on the injury list. Some of you might have things in your life that's keeping you out of the game for now. Or maybe you just had a bad church experience and you feel burned and you're hesitant to jump back in. I realize there's a lot going on in a lot of people's lives and I do not know everything in your life. And we're not here to shame you into serving, but we want to encourage you that if you are a genuine Jesus follower, it's our job to try to get in the game as much as possible. And we want to be here to love on you and encourage you to do so and equip you to do so. While you're watching the Super Bowl tonight, be asking, what would White Pine and our community look like if everyone in this room participated on the team? Just a little bit every week. What if everyone wore sweaty uniforms every Sunday? Not really, don't do that. Even though there's a few of you that are. What if everyone worked as a team to accomplish what God wanted done here in Cumberland County? That'd be a cool thing to see. Let me pray for us. God, the reality is we are here. We're here to worship you. We're here to live for you. We want to accomplish what you want done, and I do pray for more workers, that our church would be overflowing with them, that our problem would be to help organize people. I pray that you would accomplish a lot in our community so that a lot of our friends and family can live eternity with you. I pray these things in your son's name, Jesus. Amen.